gracing us with his presence at this very second. Hey, man.
Hi. I'm busy gracing.
Yes. You're full of grace.
Or something.
Welcome to Lexington and to the studios of WUKY. Our listeners love live music, and we have been embracing this new CD that you've got out called When Everything Breaks Open. We love this music. We're going to talk about what it took to put this CD together. We're going to find out a little about you personally, and then get some more live music. But right now, we do want to hear something live. You got your guitar tuned up. It's a beautiful Martin.
I do. It's on loan, actually. My two Gibsons got lost somewhere in Memphis.
No.
I swear. Their Delta's doing its best to get it back my way, but I'm happy to use this.
God.
Wood Songs Martin.
Let's have a moment of silence for Delta. Okay,
I don't think you can have too much silence on radio. We might have reached our limit.
Around here, we got some pretty loyal listeners.
They'll wade through.
So, WUKY with Matt Morris live. What you going to play for us, Matt?
I'm going to play a song off of When Everything Breaks Open called In This House.
Buildings grow like a weeds, like dandelion seeds. They spring up where they please. The buildings grow up and they come down, changing the landscape of the town. What's inside them is what counts to me. Is there designer jeans, but is there love in this house? Oh, yeah. When it costs too much to eat and the air's too hot to sleep, I lie awake and think. The rent goes up and I don't calm down. Poor people are moving now, and no one makes a fuss about it. Is there love in this house? Is there love in this house? You can fill it up with shiny things, flashy fur, designer jeans, but is there love in this house? Yeah. Hopes and dreams, and is there love in this house? Oh, 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 hey, hey, oh, what we gonna do, baby, when the money runs out?
Matt Morris live on WUKY, where NPR rocks at 91.3. That's from the CD When Everything Breaks Open. What a charmed life. And I don't ever really know a whole lot about some of our artists until I actually kind of look you up on the internet. There's a lot out there on the internet, and you have just been living some kind of charmed life since the get-go. As far as I can tell here, you have a father who was a very popular country musician, and that kind of helped you cut your teeth on the road when it comes to being in a live type situation, kind of getting in touch with that.
Mm-hmm.
The little thing called the Mickey Mouse Club.
That little thing there.
and hung out with some folks that who are listeners, even though we don't play any of these musicians, might know their names. Britney Spears, and in particular, Christina Aguilera.
Mm-hmm.
Did lots of songwriting with Christina.
I did. I have been very fortunate, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I come from a musical family, a family that always inspired me to be musical and to sing, and it supported me in that. And so when I was 11 and I said, look, I want to audition for this TV show, you know, I'd never done a TV show. I didn't have an agent. I wasn't a...
Wait a minute. It was your idea.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I wasn't planning on doing anything that big, but I just, it looked like fun. Mm-hmm. So I went into it. My mom said, all right. And then I did it. It led to a lot of really surreal, amazing experiences. And I met Christina and I met Justin and Brittany and the whole lot. Even after the show was done, when they went off to do the pop thing and I went back to kind of my regular life, you know, I went back to high school, went to home and opted out of that life. I've still been surrounded by amazing people, musical people who really helped me on this path toward making this album.
I can't help but think about Six Degrees of Separation.
Yeah.
I don't know those folks, but now I know you. And since anyway.
I got to meet Kevin Bacon, actually.
Really?
I opened for him, so I'm a part of that game, too.
Tell Kevin I said hello. Hey, amigos de las Americas. Tell us about your time in Paraguay.
Well, I was in high school. I was a junior in high school, and in my Spanish class, we had a visitor one day, which broke up a really monotonous class. I was happy to have someone come in, and they brought a TV in and told us about this organization that sends high school and college age kids down to South America, Latin America, Mexico, called Amigos. And these kids go. It's sort of like a Peace Corps, like a mini 2-month summer long Peace Corps for high school students. So I went to Paraguay and taught kids how to brush their teeth and the importance of sanitation, and we organized the construction of sanitary latrines. It was sort of the opposite of the Disney bubble, you know. It was like real earth living, you know what I mean? So it was great. It was a tremendous experience. It put a lot of perspective onto the life I had lived before and the kind of life that I wanted to live after.
Of course. What effect did that have on your songwriting, Matt?
Well, I think the best songs come out of just regular life, you know, come out of the experiences that we have on a day-to-day basis. And what I learned in Paraguay is that, you know, you strip away all of the amenities, you strip away all of the soft, plushy, plastic, pretty, shiny, beautiful things that we invest our money and our time in and that we aspire to acquire. You strip all those things away, and actually you can still have some amazing experiences, some really enriching experiences, some experiences that are worth writing about. So what it taught me was to look for those experiences in the world, to try not to be, led down the path that's just all about the fancy, you know, because it's not all about the fancy. Does that make sense?
Of course. Absolutely. kind of two different worlds there, Mickey Mouse and a club and then Paraguay.
Kind of, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, at the same time, that's been my life, has been kind of the extremes on either side. I mean, when I watched, my fellow Mouseketeers or ex-Mouseketeers become sort of iconic, you know, culturally iconic, you know, I was waiting tables and I was playing songs on a guitar and having a very, very different kind of experience. But the two didn't feel like they canceled each other out or were discordant. They were just, you know, different sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, a lot of times people will be able to get into the music business purely through association, but in this particular case, dude, it is all talent.
Oh, thank you.
You know, just listening to you just right there, if anybody who's been listening to our radio station and been hearing these songs from your new CD, When Everything Breaks Open, there's definitely some production value there, but stripped down, you and the guitar, that's beautiful.
Thank
Love
you.
It. And I'm going to brag on you a little bit. In the middle of the night, I woke up, and sometimes I'll roll over and turn on my VH1, and there you were with Justin Timberlake, he on piano and you on guitar. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that was. What was behind that, Matt?
Justin asked me to sing with him on the Hope for Haiti Now telethon, and I was in Los Angeles. I had just gone through an amazing, explosive week of television performances. I got to be on Letterman, and I got to perform on Ellen, and it was really surreal and sort of on top of the world. My band, we were all having an amazing time, and Justin called me up, you know, and said they've asked me to do this, and I want to know if you would sing with me, if we could sing something together. So we brainstormed about it, and ultimately chose Hallelujah and the Leonard Cohen
very
masterpiece.
Moving performance.
Thank you.
Incredible. I encourage you to try to find that particular video online somewhere. I'm sure that you can find it on YouTube. Matt Morris and Justin Timberlake performing Hallelujah. Speaking of Matt, you hooked up with Matt and somebody else that kind of doesn't really fit into the mold, if you excuse my expression, Charlie Sexton.
Mm-hmm.
Both helped you produce this CD, and when we opened this package up and we saw those two names together, we went, huh?
Yeah.
No. Come on. You got to be kidding me. But it works. What was that like for you being in the studio with those two master musicians, Charlie, who's worked with names like Bob Dylan and, of course, Justin out there on his own doing all kinds of wonderful things? What was it like?
They're very different, you know. They come from different musical places. They come with different skills, but what they did bring that made sense to me was a kind of there's like a no BS meter for them. Like, they get right down to it. They know what is good, and they have really good instincts. So so while they approach it differently, and you know, Charlie has his gear and Justin has his gear, and there, you know, some people think that there's the Charlie Sexton sound and the Justin Timberlake sound, and I think that's what makes it difficult for people to wrap their brain around. Like, well, how do you know, what kind of entree is that when you start putting those ingredients together, you know?
Yeah.
But what the both of them did that I think actually led to a much better album for me was to focus on the songs. It was all about the songs for both of them. It was like, what do the songs need? What kind of production do these songs really call for? Do they need something complicated or something simple? Is the voice there? Can we still follow the melody? You know, sometimes production can get so intense that you can't even really sing along to it anymore. You can't even remember it. And both of them, I think, have a keen sense of melody, and also really appreciate the diversity that I brought with these songs. It's a lot of different styles on this album, and they were together able to cater to those styles and to really build the recordings around the songs.
Were they both on the other side of the glass at the same time, or was it Charlie for one and then Justin for another songs?
We had different configurations. There were sessions where it was the both of them. There were sessions that it was just Charlie. Justin was doing some touring at the time. And there were also some sessions where it was just Justin, and Charlie was also doing some touring. He was with Bob Dylan for a period this last year. So
it's kind of fun when I listened all the way through this record. It's kind of fun for me to try to figure out who was influencing what on each particular song. I'm sorry to say all I have is the advance. Oh, wait a minute, I do have the full here. I didn't really take the time to look at either of these gentlemen performing on this record.
Justin is singing. I think he may have played keys on something. I'm not sure.
He did
some percussion stuff. And Charlie plays much.
Was it his mouth? What he did percussion with?
No, I think we did some clapping on a song. I think actually in this house,
I know he's got that talent. I know
he can throw down.
Yeah.
Give the man a microphone. but Charlie played all sorts of weird stuff. He played a trash can at one point.
Yes.
He's you know, there's
Charlie on trash can.
Hey, you know, I might add an imported Canadian trash can.
Was it his own trash can?
He brought this trash can back from Canada on the plane. And he was saying, you know, sir, you're gonna need to check this trash can. And
was that a tin? A metal?
It was a metal
aluminum?
Trash can. You know, and you throw some stuff on top of it and hit it, and that's the kind of kind of sessions that we did, you know? Just like, let's make the right kind of noise.
Can't let you go, as always, without another one. What are you going to play for us, man?
well, first, thank you for letting me be here before I start singing. I'm going to play.
You are absolutely welcome, man.
I'm really loving this. I'm going to play another song from When Everything Breaks Open. It's called The Un-American.
Okay.
The un-American needs a personal Jesus, private insurance, an obedient wife. The un-American should really stop complaining. He ought to take a trip to Disney and get his head on right. Buy a new, it'll be alright. Buy a new, that should fix the un-American. A threat to security, feeding on literature from a socialist state. The un-American, oh, it really breaks my heart to see a promising citizen deviate. Buy a new, it'll be alright. Buy a new, yeah, that should fix the un-American. Could be talking to your children, sleeping with your wife. Oh, what if you're the un-American? Oh, what if you're the un-American? Oh, what if you're the un-American?
Matt Morris live on WKY. It's the Un-American. It's a song that can be found on a new CD called When Everything Breaks Open. I'm going to use your name next time I talk with my 13-year-old daughter to help build up my cool factor a little bit, okay? Is that all right? Again, through pure association, you know, with Justin Timberlake, I'll show her the video. And she'll go, okay, Dad, a little bit.
I may have an extra CD in my bag. I can
there you go.
Her,
it's working it.
But use that carefully. I mean, you gotta ration out that with the kids.
It could be a hopeless cause. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Listen, any stripes that you've got, you've definitely earned on your own.
Hey, thank you, Mike.
We appreciate that kind of stuff here on the radio station.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful place.
Blessings to you. Good
Same
luck on
you.
The road.
Thank
and remember us when you get to the top. Okay?
I'll come on back.